You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. You know what that means. It's time for the Michigan Mailbag here on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And before we start out, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So we are going to get into the Michigan mailbag. We've got plenty of questions. Still, weirdly, less than I would have thought in rivalry week, right? But I think the bye week and just the fact that Michigan State won its last game, even though Michigan absolutely throttled Penn State. I'll say this at the top. Do you really think Michigan State's better than Penn State? I know things go weird from time to time, but nonetheless. Let's start out with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Are you surprised more teams aren't just completely selling out to stop the run? Do you think this will be Michigan State's approach? I think some teams kind of have. I mean, it's the problem is you can't completely sell out for it because the quarterback can run and he can throw, you know? As far as Michigan State's approach, I'm sure they'll try, and I'm sure that's where JJ will have some favorable matchups, right? Because if you sell out to stop the run, you still have to contend with a cadre of talented wide receivers and a quarterback who can get it there, or just losing contain of a quarterback who can go the distance, runs as fast as Blake Corum does, right? I mean, they saw the Big Ten championship game. So it's kind of hard to necessarily plan to do one thing. Plus, I mean, on top of it, Penn State did some things that even though it didn't necessarily look at the time like they were trying to stop the run, going back and rewatching and then kind of going through some of the, you know, notes and everything like that, they did some things where they were really trying to stop the run. The problem was, is Michigan is just better. Sometimes a team can just, you can know what a team is doing and it will still line up against you and there's nothing you can do about it. Michigan State getting some of their players back and moving some guys around, that certainly could help. Jacob Slade being in the middle, again, up front, Jacoby Windman moving backwards. They've got some dudes that are potentially good run stoppers. But, I mean, at the same time, Braylon Allen and Wisconsin still ran a decent amount on them, and Michigan certainly has a better front than Wisconsin. So, will guys be running free? I don't know. They got some big guys that maybe don't move as fast as Michigan does. So it'll be interesting. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Everyone else will ask about MSU. I say F them. They don't need the attention. Well, they're going to get plenty of attention here. When USC and UCLA join the conference, do you think that the conference championship game should rotate to LA? If so, how frequently, or stay in Indy full-time? I don't think it's a full-time and Indy thing, right? Like, I know Minnesota, Minneapolis is trying to get US Bank Stadium to host it, which I don't like because, I mean, Minneapolis is just far away from everything. I think it should just be as centralized as possible. And putting it in LA is just, I mean, that makes it really difficult. Like, imagine if Michigan or Ohio State against, like, Illinois, right? Like, they'd have this nice central location that they could go to. Or they could have a 5-hour plane ride to Los Angeles for reasons. I mean, certainly it would have a big kind of feel, but I mean, for a conference championship game, I don't think so, because then you're also asking people to go to a bowl game afterwards. And also, you know, your teams may have played at USC or at UCLA. So, no, unfortunately, centrally located, I do mean in the region that currently exists. They might add Washington and Oregon. And if they do, then certainly that would pay some credence to having it in LA. But if they do end up doing something like that, they should alternate, right? Like, it shouldn't be like every year. It should be like once every 4 years, because most of the Big Ten is not in that region. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. What kind of energy do you expect from the crowd on Saturday? What offensive and defensive players need to have a big game? As far as the crowd, I mean, a super lathered up Michigan fan base after a really nice day drinking outside all day. I mean, I think it will be a very fired up crowd. Everyone, I think, even though I think there's some worry out there, I do think that everyone kind of smells blood in the water at the moment. So I think it will be a very crazy crowd. I think that it's a little different than 2017 because MSU wasn't going into that game terrible. Certainly, it felt like Michigan was going to win that game in the advance of it because, in large part, because of the Florida win. Don't know if MSU had a loss earlier that season. They may have. It's different when they've got four losses and Michigan's undefeated and you're, you know, 2/3 of the way through the season, you know. As far as what offensive and defensive players, some running back, and whether it's Donovan or Blake, certainly the offensive line, just as importantly as all of that, J.J. McCarthy needs to have a big game on offense. Defensively, I would say, I mean, it's hard to say like one or two here. I mean, the front, I mean, really just all levels, right? Because they might try to attack the linebackers. I would say that the probably the most important guys are Mike Morris, Yavi Oki, Mozzie Smith, DJ Turner, and Jamon Green. That would be what I think. Because if you can take away what little capability they have to run the ball, and you keep Keon Coleman and Jaden Reed from getting the ball, and you are able to pressure Peyton Thorne, I mean, that's a great combo. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. If you had to bet what uniforms, what will we wear? I'd say all blues. Number 2, Blake over under rushing yards, 130. I predicted Michigan would maybe have trouble running the ball a little bit more than... I'll still go over. I think he'll bust at least one big one, but I don't think it'll be much over. I think it'll be like 137 yards type. I think that's what we're looking at. Number 3, your thoughts on the over 20-point spread. I mean, I think that's accurate when you look at what each team is, right? If you took the state jerseys off and put them in an Indiana uniform, everyone would say, well, yeah, they're going to beat them by like 24, you know, based off of what we've seen so far from both teams this year. Understand it's a rivalry game, but that can only mean so much to some degree. KRT at Farmerk 84. How many sacks does the defense get on Thorne? Which D-line or edge player has the best game on Saturday? While I would normally say Mike Morris, I'm going to go with Yavi Oki. I think he's just been kind of getting there. However, I don't think they're going to get a lot of sacks. This Michigan State offensive line has not let up a lot of sacks. It's been really good in that regard. So I think they'll get one or two, but I think that's going to be about it. Don't sit there and fantasize about like 5 sacks or something like that. I don't think that's going to happen. Jonathan Joseph at J. Joseph 2156 closing us out. Who are your offensive and defensive stars of the game on Saturday? I mean, I guess we kind of answered that, but I would say it's going to be one unknown player like Andrell last year. Maybe it's Andrell again. And then I think one of the linebackers steps up and has a big game. We've been kind of waiting to see Junior Colson have that big breakout game. I think this is a really good Junior Colson game. So that's going to be what I'm going to go with. All right, let's continue on here momentarily. But before we do, I got to make sure that I'm all right here, which I don't know that I am. Okay, I guess I am here. Listen, I took a shower right before coming down here to do a podcast because that's an important thing. One of the things that I did, because even though I am here by myself in my own home, none of my, you know, my roommates aren't home. That's just me in Missouri. I don't want to be sweaty on camera. So what do? I use Sweatblock because I have come down here not having used Sweatblock, and I'm sure that you have seen this me Mel Tuckering all over the place. But I use Sweatblock whenever I get a chance. And the whole thing is Sweatblock gives you the confidence to wear what you want without embarrassing underarm sweat. The Sweatblock wipes were featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweater odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. It's also available on Amazon. I don't know why, but that felt like it took a lot longer, like just under 10 minutes to do that whole first segment. We've got a lot of questions coming left, especially with this very big Victor's Valiant section. Starting it off as we always do with Jim at Jim in the North. I got this clearly. I missed something here. I got to go back to the actual Twitter instead of my whole little thing because something's... Okay, I missed the 4 years. 4 years I've heard that Michigan fans are arrogant with some justification, but I believe since D'Antonio, MSU has gotten bad or worse in their fandom. Agree. I do think that there is a lot of arrogance in the Michigan fan base. I absolutely do. I do also agree that I think Michigan State fans are just as arrogant. They've become the thing they've sworn to destroy, so to speak, right? They chirp so much, win or lose. And I think that's what makes it so much where Michigan fans hate them to the level that they do, which is really close to Ohio State. Now, that said, I mean, like I said this last year, and, you know, I was on my drive home from MSU last year talking to Jake Budd on the phone. And, you know, he was naturally upset about what had happened. I said, listen, Michigan beats Ohio State. You won't care. No one else will care. You know, Michigan State fans will sit there and chirp and chirp and chirp and be like, hey, look at me, look at me. It's like the Mark Cuban on The Simpsons, which is in like season 21 or something like that. I just watched the episode last night for the millionth time. And he's like, no one's been paying attention to me for 10 whole seconds. It's kind of where they get. And I think that Michigan fans, it's a weird duality, these fan bases. But yes, D'Antonio has certainly made them arrogant. They have a right to be, given what they've done against Michigan, but not the way they talk about themselves in college football. I've said millions of times over here, it's hyperbole for you, but that if Michigan State, as fan base, as a program, was a TV character, it would be Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Not in the later parts where it gets fat and then cut and all of that whole narrative does the ballet thing. But just in the typical, like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to do a quick backflip and then I'm going to neutralize the situation. And people, and then like Charlie will be like, you've never done a backflip. And he's like, I do a backflip every day of my life. Like that's with Michigan State fan bases. It's overconfident. So arrogant. Yeah. Overconfident. They beat Michigan. They are very confused as to why they're not further ahead when the whole onus of their program is on one team. You can have that if you're Ohio State, right? They care about Michigan, but guess what? They care about everything else too. Michigan State, sometimes it was no surprise that they lost to Purdue the week after beating Michigan. That's like the obvious thing that would happen. What do we have to worry about with the Spartans getting people back from injury? Will Michigan be facing a markedly different team? I mean, markedly different, I'm not sure, because how much difference does like two or three players actually make? I mean, yes, they beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin was awful. Wisconsin lost to Ohio State in the same exact way that Michigan State did. So it's not like this is a great Wisconsin team. Yeah, they beat Purdue the next week, last week. But it's still like, it's not a good Wisconsin team. This is not your typical Wisconsin team. They're just as bad, right? They are also 3-4. They lost to Washington State. They're not writing home about anybody. So do I think that they'll look better in this game? I think it's certainly possible, but I also think that Michigan, I don't really like the, well, they're angry type narrative, right? I don't think that necessarily means anything. What I do think it means is that Michigan will be that much more dialed into the game and not overlooking Michigan State as like, oh yeah, we're better than them, we're going to beat them. Because I think Michigan does that a lot. Are we up for MSU this year like they are for us? So I guess I just answered that. Ike Hamlin at Hamstand 87. Is Penn State a quality win now or not? Can folks make up their mind? Are people saying it's not? I mean, they're like ranked number 13 in the country. They went out and beat, yes, it was a somewhat decimated Minnesota team. I don't know that Tanner Morgan would have made them that much better than what we saw from Cali McManus, but I don't think it's, I still think it's a good win. We'll see what happens against Ohio State, right? If they lose 55-3 or something like that, then it will look different. And that's the whole beauty of the sport, right? Is your resume looks different as you go down the line. Ohio State, they beat Notre Dame in week one and everyone thought that they were heroes. And maybe they are, but this is their first real big test. You know, Michigan in 2013 beat Notre Dame in week two. Everyone thought they were heroes. Guess what? They weren't. Granted, we learned very quickly after that that they weren't. Data guy, Florida FL, or I'm not sure if it's Florida or FL. You can tell me next week at Data Guy FL. Will you have credentials for the OSU game? I'm counting on it. If not, that's a big problem for me and my numerous businesses. Have you been to the Shoe on a Michigan game day? I have. I was in 2016. I was on the sidelines directing the line to gain from JT was short. And I was there in 2018 where an unnamed Michigan coach told me about 5 minutes before kickoff that they were going to kill him. They were a little overconfident going into that one. Adam Kasel at Adam underscore Kasel. Does Michigan exceed expectations? By the way, that coach isn't there anymore. Does Michigan exceed expectations in the running game on Saturday? I don't think they will. I feel like they probably, MSU will have some strategy. They've had an extra week to work on it. So they'll have some strategy to slow it down. Besides being a rivalry game, is there any reason Michigan fans should be concerned about MSU? Yeah, just the typical, like, you know, ball bounces the wrong way, which they always seem to be the benefactors of, officiating. We saw some really bad officiating last year. I'm not a big anti-officiating guy, but they can change games, and it did last year. It changed the 2016 Ohio State game, thinking about the Delano Hill pass interference that really shouldn't have been called for an uncatchable ball. People point to Grant Perry and, you know, and then the spot and all that. None of that would have happened if they would have not called, you know, Ohio State would have had to punt with like 2 minutes left. You know, that game was over. Peyton Thorne being able to roll out, hurt you with his legs or hit one of his receivers. He is pretty good at ball placement in some of those 50-50 balls. I've definitely seen him. And the plus, they don't stop fighting, right? That Washington game, I was sitting in this very seat watching it on this TV. Well, this TV that's down here that was up here. You can't see it, so I don't know why I'm describing it. I was watching it, and I was starting like a reactions thread the site Wolverine's Wire, because I was thinking it was going to be so far out of hand that everyone could, you know, you get a little bit of that LOL MSU type stuff that you can do with the rivals when they lose sometimes, but especially the first game that they lose, and they fought back. I mean, the score looked respectable. It wasn't ultimately, but it looked respectable because they bounced back. They did that to Michigan last year, so there's no part where Michigan can do like it did against Iowa and be like, all right, we're up 20, we got this game in hand. Can't do it. Get a couple bad bounces, you know? They score a touchdown, you get it back, you throw like a pick six, all of a sudden, this game's in trouble, right? So they've got to really put it away quick. Zanland, how many trick plays do you think Sparty will use in the game? I haven't really seen Mel Tucker be like a hyper trick play guy aside from kind of the same stuff that Michigan's done, which we haven't seen this year, right? The flea flickers and stuff like that. Like, yeah, there's little trickery and stuff like that. We haven't seen a lot of that this year. I'm sure they're going to be ready for the stuff that they've pulled in the past. But I'm sure we'll see like four or five things, especially on the first drive, to try to get Michigan caught off guard, try to score first, which Michigan State's tended to score first. They scored first in 2016. They scored first in 2019. Guess how both those games went. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. If a big lead comes about this weekend, does Harbaugh keep his foot on the gas this Saturday to prove a point a la Penn State 2018? 1,000%. Just, this is not going to be the type of game just because it's a rival, because we saw what happened when Michigan had what looked like a commanding 16-point lead last year. I think that we're starting to get into the point of the season where, like last year, you know, Michigan started, and I think it was in part because they lost to Michigan State and there was no room for error, but you started seeing games like the Maryland game where Michigan ran up the score. I think they'll do it to Sparty, embarrass them, say good night. I think that would be the point. You know, that would feel really good for everyone in Michigan and everyone terrible for everyone with Michigan State, which I think with a rivalry game like this, if you can embarrass the other team, do it. You know, I think that sometimes he's played it too safe against either Michigan State or Ohio State. And I think that's cost him a couple potential wins against either. Jacob Shaveria, Jacob 172-139-50. Do you think the absolute disrespect the AP? What do you think of the absolute disrespect the AP ranked us in hoops? People act like we don't make deep tournament runs year after year. How many more years until the Big Ten gets rid of divisions unless the top two teams play? Joel Klatt had a great point on the subject. Well, they're not doing it next year. I'm sure they'll do it when USC and UCLA come. As far as the AP, it doesn't matter right now, right? Like, net rankings are what matter. Michigan's got a lot of turnover. You know, you've got a very new-looking starting five. So I don't think it matters, to be honest. I think it's fine. It is what it is. It's, you know, they'll get better or they'll get worse. I think it's weird that, you know, other teams get more respect. But, you know, I think it's better for a team like this Michigan basketball team to have that essential chip on their shoulder. I think they need that, right? Last year, they were thought of pretty highly and didn't go well. So I think they need to prove it. I think that's fine. Every team should get a little bit of that. Molyneux at Molyneux. The way Jim Harbaugh said whining is hilarious and so very peak Jim. That is not a question. I just wanted to bring it up. It was very much old school Jim Harbaugh and hilarious. I agree. My old writer from Wolverine's Wire, Brandon Knapp at BNAP Blogs. We saw Andrell Anthony break out against MSU last season and was involved the rest of the year to a degree. Who do you think that kind of player could be that kind of player this year? Anthony hasn't been used much this year, so could this game be where he makes another splash return? I think absolutely. I think you could see him and Roman Wilson really take a big step forward. Again, you know, Roman Wilson after his injury has been not a non-factor, but not nearly the factor he was pre-injury. And as far as a totally new player, I could see Darius Clemens being a guy that all of a sudden comes out, right? Because Andrell hadn't done anything before that, and then suddenly he's got two touchdowns. I can see Darius Clemens being a guy they use like that, but more likely it would be Andrell. It's against his hometown team. They thought he was a lock. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. Is the old Jim Harbaugh back? Kind of seems like it. I'm talking old Jim Harbaugh. We're talking San Francisco 49ers Jim Harbaugh. We're talking Stanford, what's your deal, Jim Harbaugh? Kind of feels that way. Anton Sasmita Mangala at Sasmita Mangala. What has been the biggest reason for the culture change at Michigan? I just think it was kind of clearing house of some of the cliques, and as far as like getting coaches that were all on the same page. You know, I hate to say it, but like Don Brown going, the other coaches were, there was some friction in those rooms a little bit. I just think that they've got like a cohesive group of people all pulling towards the same goal on the same page. The team hasn't been clicky. And I think in large part, that's because of guys like Aiden Hutchinson and Cade McNamara, you know, really having your stars being the hardest workers on the team, you know, being the guys who, you know, your leaders were the ones who were doing the most. And I think that was a great starting point, and it leads to a foundational goodness the following year, you know? What would it take for the Big House to rival the atmosphere of a whiteout? Adding some overhang decks, and probably like in the end zone or outside to keep in some noise, and getting a lot of people on their feet that aren't normally on their feet. I mean, I think the Big House has been louder than it used to be when I would go as a fan, but I was told down in front and be quiet during the 2013 Ohio State game in moments where, you know, you had like big defensive plays coming right at you, you know? So it's just going to take time for kind of the fan base to continue to shift. All right. I'm Pat Mann. at the_GD_Patman. Do you think Sparty will try to 50-50 ball us to death on Saturday? I absolutely do. Because I don't know what else they're going to be able to do. That's really their best option. And it worked a couple years ago. So we will see. Finishing us out in segment number two, U of M Clips and Bolts at U of M Clips Bolts. Honest opinions on Little Brother's neon green state uniforms. I think they're the most hideous uniforms that there are. They're hideous. I say that as someone who actually has come to like the redesign of their uniform, regular uniform. Especially like when they're doing dark green, the white helmet. They've actually got some pretty sharp uniforms. I always thought their uniforms were ugly growing up, and they were. They look really pretty classic now. What's your favorite Halloween candy? Are you more of a chocolate guy or a gummy guy? Definitely chocolate. I mean, I do like stuff like Sour Patch Kids, but Reese's would be my jam. I'm big into that, but got to stop here because I mean, I haven't been eating a lot of Reese's. I've been eating other stuff, but it's been salads the last few days. P.S. Have you ever noticed that Mel Tucker looks like a giant milk dud? I have not, but anyway, I just notice he sweats a lot on the sidelines, even when it's not there's no sweating anything there. Anyway, we've got more coming up here in just a moment. All right, let's finish this out. We've got quite a few. We'll kind of roll through most of these here, but we'll start with my friend Ben Pfizer at Satisfizer. Regarding the 2023 schedule, is a night game whiteout at Penn State possible, or is there really a rule about no night games in November? I keep seeing comments about this, quote, rule, but we're playing Rutgers at night in November. It's the last, you can have one that first week in November. After that, no. I mean, you can, but there has to be like approvals all across the board, you know, from both schools. So the last 3 weeks of November, they can't. Right. So Michigan couldn't have been, or the networks are really what said it. But, you know, they couldn't be like, yeah, we're totally going to have a Nebraska night game. Nebraska, if Nebraska's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that, they'd be like, oh. Certainly there's been those late night games, right? Iowa in 2016. But I don't know that Michigan necessarily agreed to that, but I think they changed some of the rules since then. Hutch at Hutch of the Dead, what's up with the snap count flip from R.J. Moten and Makari Page? Is it performance-based, scheme-based? I'm a fan of both, but noticed R.J. hasn't been on the field as much. Makari's just been playing really well, right, as I think part of it, and I think that it's probably in large part due to what they see on the field as well. I think it's a mixture of them. The cough has been waiting to come out there. Jamie Menifee at Jamie_Menifee. There's so many dudes waiting to get involved. I feel like Blake goes off this game again. The biggest difference, I believe, will be our secondary. Do you agree? I don't know whether or not, because I think MSU will do everything they can to not have Blake beat them. They'd rather JJ beat them. But maybe it doesn't matter, right? Like I said, sometimes you know what your danger zone is, and you do everything that you can do to stop it, and sometimes you just can't. I'm hedging my bets a little bit. Like I said, I look at like 137 yards, which is still pretty good, just maybe not like unbelievable and by his standards. As far as the secondary, yeah, I think as far as Michigan's defense, because I don't see them running the ball well, I think that if the secondary can slow them down, then it's that game over for Michigan State. I don't see how they score otherwise, but, you know. Jay DePoy. What are the chances of Michigan making the playoffs even if they lose a relatively close game at OSU? I think it depends on several things. How do they lose? If it was a situation like 2016, even, you know, they had two losses, of course, but, you know, I don't think any team was particularly unblemished that year. I think that they would have been in above some of the other teams. I think they would have been definitely in. This year, I think what you have to do is now start really running the table, style points wise and everything like that. Look dominant. Can't just keep winning ho-hum, because unfortunately, unless you're an SEC team like Georgia was, winning the same kind of way that Michigan was or is, they don't look at that as, wow, look at this. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So you have to continue to have some wow wins. And if it's if it's a situation where Michigan looks like it's better than Ohio State, and then Ohio State just kind of has a couple big plays and beats them, I think it's possible, but you also need some help, right? Because Alabama, Tennessee, Clemson, potentially USC, they're all going to have things to say about it. Wolverines.intel at Wolverines Intel. What does Eric Hall's future look like? Well, that all depends, right? Because he has two options. He could come back. He could go pro. We don't know which one he's going to do. Certainly some NIL type deal could help make him decide coming back is worth it. Especially considering he's probably not going to go, if he does decide to go pro, as high as people expected, right? Because with all of the hype around him, he's got a very limited sample size as to his capability, right? Last year, that's really it. 1 year, and it was good. It wasn't necessarily like, you know, it doesn't live up to the level of what he is capable of. Joey at M_fan_2, does CJ need more touches? I feel that his after catch abilities are elite and underused. I think they'll, you know, they always target him, right? But the problem is sometimes he's been inconsistent when it comes to catching the ball. But then at Indiana, he dropped the ball and it was like, all right, this has been an issue. Come on. And then the next several plays, he catches it and makes big plays. So I think it's hard to say one wide receiver needs more touches as well, because there's a lot of wide receivers. AJ Henning's a guy we haven't talked about. He needs more touches. It would be interesting to see if Michigan does things to keep them off balance with him, because remember, he was a really big part of the offense later in the year last year. And right now, no one's talking about him. No one, I think, even remembers him at this point. He doesn't remember himself unless he looks in the mirror, you know? So it's hard to really have a good bearing on that. BC for Heisman at Blue for Life 8. I've seen players wanting a blue out for the game, but not much, if any, from the school. Is it just something the players are trying to get going? Yes, the athletic department has decided they are not announcing anything of their own volition, but yet, yeah, all the players are trying to get people to do a blue out, the Maze Rage, which is, I know people think of it as basketball, but it's just the official student section, what have you, Twitter, which is verified and all that. They announced that it was a blue out. So yeah, it's you're not going to see anything from the athletic department, but if you're going to the game, wear blue, because that's what they're trying to have happen. Watch this be the one week when everyone wears Maze, because that wouldn't surprise me at all. It really wouldn't. Juan Blue at John N1131. Is Roman Wilson healthy? Seems like we aren't using him nearly enough, or maybe just saving him for when we really need him. He is now, but I mean, he got knocked out of the Iowa game. He was being used pretty frequently up until then, and not knocked out, put in concussion protocol, came back last week, so missed one game. And, he had a couple big catches, but that's it. I mean, that's fine. Michigan ran the ball 418 yards, so. You got more. He says, that sounds like a Harbaugh thing to do. I know we're a run first team, but we're wasting him, in my opinion. Well, they were using him fine. Then he got injured. Came back. They used him a little bit, but in a game that they didn't really, you know. Wolverine100 at Maxton_Steve. If you think any of the big time recruits that will be at the game Saturday will commit after the game, if so, who? Pretty hard to tell right now. I mean, Jaden Davis, what more do you have to see, my guy? But I mean, other than that, I don't know that there's anyone. There's really no one except for him that I'm like, yeah, kind of feels like they're ready to pull the trigger, you know? And even he's got other visits, so he probably won't either. All right, is this our last one? It is. Toddy Brown Jr. Will MSU's game plan... Okay, it's the same thing we already said here. I'll just answer it again. Will MSU's game plan be chugging 50-50 balls to Jaden Reed? Almost feels like a rhetorical question. It absolutely is, because that's what they've done this year. That said, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get some matchups with Trey Mosley. I think he's, you know, and Malik Carr. They've got tight end type builds. But they're, you know, I think that they'll get involved as well. I don't really know what their game plan is necessarily. Misdirection. I think that would probably be it. But so far, the only thing that's really hurt Michigan has been some of those getting guys in the middle of a zone and 50-50 balls. But even then, it only hurts Michigan for so long before they adjust. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back with a preview. I don't think my preferred guest is available tomorrow like I had hoped. So probably just going it alone. Going it alone. We will talk to you soon. Thanks for watching and or listening. Peace.